Welcome to the Voice of Hope with Pastor Andy Clark. I trust you've had a good week walking with the Lord. This week I want to talk about something else that the Holy Spirit put on my heart. And on Tuesday morning, November 28th of November, I was praying about a big challenge I'm having in your lives. And maybe you have some big challenges in your life. You know, we live in times where there are many challenges that we're facing with the economy and money and health problems. And I was just praying about a big challenge that I was facing. And when I pray, I usually ask God to speak to me, you know, because prayer is more than just talking to God. It's hearing the voice of God. Because when you go to God, you tell God what you need, but God wants to give you some direction in your life and wants to answer you and build a faith. And God speaks to you, speaks to us in many ways. Sometimes he speaks to us through the Bible, and he shows us something in the Bible. Sometimes he speaks to us through somebody else. Somebody shares something with us that gives us an idea, a revelation of what God is wanting to do. A lot of times God just puts something in our heart and or an idea in our mind that comes from the Holy Spirit. And so I was praying on Tuesday morning about this challenge that I was facing. And the Lord spoke this word to me, and he says, when the enemy goes big, God goes bigger. When the enemy goes big, God goes bigger. In other words, when the enemy comes with power, God comes with greater power. You know, God always does something greater than what the enemy is doing, because God is greater than the enemy. And so when the enemy goes big, God goes bigger. And so we see the enemy really coming out in our world today. We see a lot of problems and conflicts in our world. We see a lot of challenges, things happening in our world. The enemy seems to be gaining influence and gaining power, but we need to remember that when the enemy shows forth his power, God always shows forth greater power. When the enemy goes big, God goes bigger. And so I want to look at some stories in the Bible to show how God goes bigger, how God shows his power when the enemy comes against us, to build up your faith and to give you some insight in how to overcome the problems that come into our lives. And so the first one I want to look at is from the book of Exodus and about God delivering Israel from slavery in Egypt. Now, Israel had been slaves in Egypt for 400 years. Egypt was the greatest superpower, is the most powerful nation in the world at that time. And the people of Israel could not escape from Israel's slavery. No one could deliver them because Egypt was the most powerful nation in the world. And so the Israelites cried out to God to deliver them from the power of Egypt because they know no one else could deliver them. And God, we know the story, God raised up Moses, and with great power, God used Moses to totally destroy the nation of Egypt and deliver Israel out of the power of Egypt. So we see that Egypt was the greatest power in the earth, but God was greater than the power of Egypt, and God totally destroyed everything that was in Egypt. And totally destroyed their military, totally destroyed their agriculture, totally destroyed everything that they had, and left the greatest nation with nothing. Because God is more powerful than the greatest nation. And we need to understand that we live with a great and powerful God. You know, Egypt represents the world, and the world seems to be very powerful, but we need to understand that God is greater than the world. And when the world shows forth his power, God shows forth a greater power. But God shows forth his power because he wants to deliver us out of Egypt. And God wants to deliver us from the power of the world. And the way God delivers us is by being born again and accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior. So before you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and are born again, you are part of the world. You are under the world's power. God wants to deliver you out of the world's power into his kingdom. The Bible says God wants to deliver you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And so God wants to do that in your life today. But you to do for God to deliver you from the power of the world and the power of sin, you need to accept Jesus as your Savior and give your life totally to God. And God will deliver you from the power of the world. And so if you haven't done that, I want you to do that right now. And I want you to pray after me. Lord Jesus, I come to you now. I believe that you have all power. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sin. You rose again and destroyed the power of the enemy. Jesus, today I accept you as my Savior. I give my life to you. I repent of my sin. I choose to become your child. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my life. Thank you for forgiving me of my sin. And thank you for delivering me from the power of the world, from the power of Satan. And I just give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Bible says if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If you've accepted Christ your Savior, you've been delivered from the power of the world, the power of Satan, because Satan is the ruler of this world, and you've been brought into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. But maybe today you're a believer, but you're still seem to be under the power of the world. You still fall into temptation. You still fall into things. The world has great influence in your life. You seem to have a hard time breaking free from the bondage of the world. You know, you're a child of God, but you haven't really been freed from. And God wants to set you free today from the power of the world. God wants to set you free from the authority of the world today as you yield your life to Christ. And God has the power to deliver you. So whatever it is that is binding you up, whatever it is and hindering you, God wants to deliver you from that today by the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of Jesus Christ, because Jesus has greater power than any power that is in the world. He overcame the world and conquered the world through us. So we see when the world can become stronger, God is going to become greater. When the world becomes powerful, God is even more powerful than the world. The second story I want to look at is in the book of Joshua. Now, Joshua, after God had delivered the children of Israel from Egypt, and God used Moses to deliver them, and they went through the wilderness, God was taking them into the promised land. See, God not just doesn't only want to deliver us from the world, God wants to give us his promises. See, God has promises for you and me. The Bible is filled with promises for you and me. That we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. That we have healing through Jesus Christ. We have the victory through Jesus. God has promises for us. And God was getting ready to take Israel into the promised land. And so the first thing that Israel encountered when they got ready to go into the promised land was the city of Jericho. Jericho was the biggest city in the promised land. And the promised land was owned at that time or controlled by wicked nations. And Jericho was a wicked city, but it was a very powerful city. It had huge walls. No one could defeat Jericho. And it was a city that no one could defeat. It was a very powerful, strong city. And so God told Joshua that he wanted to lead the children of Israel into the promise, but to enter the promise, they had to defeat, first of all, Jericho. And so God gave him a plan. See, when God wants us to overcome the enemy, God wants to give us a plan. And so God gave Israel and Joshua a plan. And he said, every day you march around the whole city of Jericho, one time a day for 6 days. And you don't say anything, you don't do anything, you just walk around the city. So they did that for 6 days. And then God said, on the seventh day, I want you to walk around 7 times around the city. 7 is a number of perfection. It's a number of God. Walk around the city 7 times. And on the 7th time, you give a great shout. And when you give a great shout, I'm going to collapse, destroy the walls of Jericho. So they did what God told them to do. And the great walls of Jericho fell down. And they entered into Jericho, defeated the enemy, and entered into the promised land. See, God has promises for you and me. See, God has delivered us from Egypt. If you're born again, a child of God, God wants to deliver you from the power of the world. But God just wants to, and God wants to give you promises, great and precious promises, good things that he has for us. But you see, the enemy stands against us. The enemy doesn't want us to come into the blessings of God. The enemy doesn't want us to come into the promises of God. So the enemy stands up like he's very strong. You know, the enemy comes, the Bible says, the enemy comes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And see, and sometimes we look out at the world and we look at the enemy in the world, and the enemy seems very strong. See, Jericho was a great city that was too strong for them to take. They did not have the power to take Jericho. But God has the power to take Jericho, because whatever the enemy does, God does greater. Whatever power the enemy has, God's power is greater. And so when they did what God told them to do, then God destroyed the power of the enemy, and God brought them into the promises and blessings of God. And you need to let God identify, you know, God show you what is hindering you from coming into God's promises and God's blessing. And we need to recognize what's hindering us, and we need to come against those things, not in our power, but in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the power of Jesus Christ, in the power and authority of the Word of God. See, when you do things God's way, God gives you the victory. So God just doesn't want to deliver you from the world. God wants to give you victory. God wants you to be more than an overcomer. God wants to prosper and bless you if you walk in his way. So God wants to bring you into the promised land. So no matter how big the enemy is, no matter how great the walls are, the things that are hindering you, God is greater than whatever is hindering you. And so God wants to deliver you from those things today. Lord God, I pray for people today who want to enter into more of you, want to receive your promise, but something is hindering them. Lord God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you'll show them what is hindering them and to enter into your blessings and promises. And Lord, I pray that you'll give them a plan, show them how they can overcome the plans of the enemy, how they can overcome the power of the enemy and come into the blessings that you have for them. I pray you just encourage every person today in Jesus' name. Amen. The third thing I want to look at is the book of Judges. Now, Israel, when they entered the promised land, they didn't have a king initially. They were ruled by judges. And Israel oftentimes would fall into sin. They would start imitating the people in Canaan. You see, they were not supposed to be like the people in the promised land. They were supposed to destroy the people in the promised land because the people were idolatrous. But Israel failed to destroy them all, and so they were tempted to do idolatry. They were tempted to worship the idols of things that the heathen worshipped in the promised land. And sometimes we are tempted, even though we're born again, children of God, and even though we may be walking in victory, we're tempted to compromise ourselves and do things the way the world's doing things. And idolatry is any time you raise anything greater than God, and you make that more important. So idolatry can be money, it can be women, it can be position, it can be power, it can be anything that tempts you to compromise yourself. It can be witchcraft, anything that can compromise you. And so Israel compromised themselves, and they fell away from God. And so God allowed the enemy to overcome them. See, when we walk in sin and we compromise ourselves with the world, the enemy has power over us. Even though you may be a believer, a child of God, when you compromise with the world and walk in sin and disobedience, then that opens the door for the enemy to come into your life, and you fail to walk in the blessings of God. So what God would do, Israel would get into trouble, the enemy would overcome them, and they would cry out to God for help. And when they cried out to God, God would send another judge to deliver them from the enemy. And one of those judges was Gideon, a man named Gideon. At this time, a country called the Midianites had invaded Israel. The Midianites had a great army, huge army, and they came into Israel, and they destroyed everything. They stole everything that Israel had. The Israelites had to flee and leave their homes and go up in the mountains and live in caves and everything. Life was very difficult for them because the enemy, even though they were children of God, and even though they were in the promised land, because of their idolatry and disobedience to God, the enemy was overcoming them. And they were losing everything because they had yielded to temptation and the enemy. So the enemy had overcome them. And Gideon was just a farmer. And one day Gideon was just trying to thresh some wheat for his family. And he was hiding because he was afraid of the enemy. See, when you don't walk in the power of God, you walk in fear of the enemy. You either walk in faith in God or fear of the enemy. And so an angel appeared to Gideon and told Gideon that he was a mighty man of valor. You know, no matter who you are, if you're a child of God, you're still a child of God. Even though you're having problems, even though maybe you've compromised yourself and sinned, you're still a child of God. And so an angel appeared to Gideon and said, "You are a mighty man of valor." Now, Gideon was not a military man. He was a simple farmer. But God saw who Gideon really was. You see, even in the midst of your sin sometimes, even in the midst of your problems, God still sees you as his child. He still sees you as a great person because you're his child. So God says, "Gideon, I'm going to use you as a judge to deliver your people from the hand of the Midianites." And so God gave Gideon an assignment. Now, this is very important. God told Gideon, "You must go down and tear down your family idol. And if you tear down your family idol, then I'm going to use you to deliver your people." See, sometimes there are family idols. There are things in our life that we compromise on. You know, I was in the country of Haiti for 9 years. And Haiti had a lot of witchcraft. It was called a Christian nation, but a lot of Christians were still doing witchcraft. They were still doing ceremonies with their children, dedicating their children, and doing ceremonies that were part of their ancestor worship. And because of that, Haiti, even though they were believers, they still walked in defeat. They still suffered. And today, Haiti is ruled by gangs, and it's in total chaos. There's no police, no military. These gangs control the country, and the whole country is suffering, and people are dying. And even though they're Christians, because they were trying to please God and please the devil at the same time. A lot of the buses in Haiti, on the back they would have a scripture verse, a verse from the Bible, but on the front they would have witchcraft symbols because they were trying to please the devil and please God at the same time. Jesus says you can't serve two masters. And so Israel, even though they're children of God, they were serving the devil. And so God told Gideon, "You must tear down your family idol." So maybe there's something in your life that's hindering you. You've accepted Jesus, your Savior. You've come into the promised land. You're a child of God. But there's something in your life that is hindering you. And it can be many things, and you need to let the Holy Spirit reveal that to you. And so, you know, when Gideon destroyed the family idol, then the power of God came upon Gideon, and he not only delivered Gideon from the Midianites, but he used Gideon to deliver his whole nation of Israel from the Midianites. See, God wants to move us forward. God always wants to bless us. God always wants to prosper us. But we need to deal with those things in our life that are hindering us from walking into God's blessing, and God will empower us. See, when the enemy came in big, when the Midianites came in big and defeated Israel and stole everything they had, when Gideon took care of the idol, God came in bigger. See, when the enemy comes in big, God comes in bigger. When the enemy comes in power, God comes with more power as we learn to yield to him, as we learn to deal, we confess and repent from things that are wrong, change what God wants to change so he can empower us by his Spirit. So when the enemy comes in like a flood, God comes in even stronger in us. Fourth illustration I want to look at is when after Israel had judges, they had kings to rule them. And the first king that Israel had was named Saul. And Saul was the first king of Israel. The problem with Saul was Saul became very prideful when he became king. When he first became king, he was very humble and obeyed God. But when he became king and became powerful, he became prideful and he stopped obeying God. You know, I've known many people that way. God begins to bless them. They prosper them. They begin to get big and they think they're important now. And they think they can do things their way. And so Saul, he thought it was important. He thought he was the king. He was powerful. He could just do things his way. And so because of that, God allowed the enemy of Israel, the Philistines, to kill Saul and all his sons and destroy the nation of Israel. And Israel became captive to the Philistines. But you know, when the enemy comes in great, God comes in greater. And so God raised up a new king called David. And David had a heart after God. David loved God. David loved the word of God. David worshiped God. David walked with God. David had a clean heart before God. And because of David's attitude toward God, God raised David up, who was a simple shepherd boy. God raised him up to be the next king of Israel. And under David, God destroyed not only the Philistines, God destroyed all of Israel's enemies, and Israel became the greatest nation on the face of the earth because of David, because David had a heart after God. See, Saul allowed the enemy to come in because of his pride. But when the enemy came in, God came in greater. See, when the enemy goes big, God goes bigger. When the enemy comes in power, God becomes more powerful. But he's looking for people who have a heart after him that he can use to demonstrate his power. People who are totally dedicated to God and dedicated to his purposes, willing to do things his way. People who don't have idols in their life, who are not compromising with the world. God wants to raise up today deliverers like David. Men and women who won't compromise themselves, who have a heart after God, who are full of God's Spirit, and who walk in integrity before God. God wants to raise them up and bless them, but use them to be a blessing to others. See, when the enemy comes in big, God wants to come in bigger, and God wants to use people in a great way. The fifth thing I want to look at is when God came in the greatest and most powerful way. You know, and this God came in a greater way than Moses. God came in a bigger way than Joshua, a bigger way than Judges. God came in bigger than David. And God came in a great way, and the greatest way God came in was by sending his son, Jesus Christ. See, God, in the midst of all the corruption and evil in the world, God went big. God sent the most powerful person in the universe, and that is his son, Jesus Christ. And we look at the life of Jesus. Jesus walked in power and authority because he walked in the will of God. Jesus was born a man. It says Jesus laid down all his rights as God, became a man, but he operated in power of the Spirit because he operated in obedience to God. He says, I don't say anything except God tells me to say it. I only do what God tells me to do. And so everything Jesus did was successful. He operated in power and overcame the power of the enemy. He healed the sick, cast out demons, raised the dead, made storms stop, fed multitudes. He walked in the power of the Holy Spirit because he walked in union with God. See, when the world was suffering and the world was dying and the world was going to hell, God sent a Savior, Jesus Christ, to save the world from sin, to save us from the power of the enemy. See, when the enemy came in great, God came in greater. And God sent the most powerful person, and that was Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ demonstrated the power on earth. And he said, the same things that I do, you can do also, because I am coming to live in you. See, God has an answer for the problem of the world today. And that answer is Jesus Christ. Paul said in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. See, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God to salvation. That word salvation in the Greek language, the original language, means salvation from everything. It means salvation for eternal life. It means salvation from poverty, salvation from sickness, salvation from the devil, salvation from everything in the world, salvation from demonic influence, salvation from everything, every power of the world. Jesus, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is the power of God for salvation, for whatever you need, for everyone. It's available to everyone who believes. See, God went big. God sent his only son to die for us, for our sins, to rise again so we can walk in his authority and power. And God wants to do a great work. See, Paul was a powerful man of God because Paul was persuaded the gospel of Jesus Christ was the power of God for salvation. That no matter what the problem was, Jesus Christ was the answer. And if we walk in obedience to Jesus, yield to Jesus, he will cause us to overcome the enemy. The last one I want to look at is how God came in the greatest way. When the enemy was the greatest, God came in the greatest way. And God, in Acts chapter 2, poured out his Holy Spirit on the disciples in the upper room. And God released his power into his church. And 3,000 people were saved. 5,000 people were saved. People were added to the church daily. And the church grew and prospered and changed the world for Jesus Christ. Because God's greatest way of salvation is Jesus. But God's greatest power is the Holy Spirit in those who walk in obedience to him. And I believe we live in a day where God is getting ready to pour out his Spirit on people that are willing to follow him, to yield themselves to him, to give themselves totally to him, that God is going to release the power of his Spirit for the end time harvest. And so today, the enemy is going big. The enemy is trying to show forth his power, but God is getting ready to go bigger, and God is getting ready to pour out the power of his Spirit on you and me. Lord God, I just thank you for every person listening to the Voice of Hope today. I pray they're encouraging you. Thank you, Lord, that when the enemy goes big, you go bigger. When the enemy shows forth his power, you show forth greater power, because you are greater than any work of the enemy. Lord, we choose to believe you. We choose to follow you. We choose to obey you, Lord God, so that you can empower us to overcome every power of the enemy. Lord, I pray your blessings upon every person listening to the Voice of Hope today. Keep them by your power, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to encourage you and invite your friends to listen to Voice of Hope. If you missed this message, you can always hear my messages. I post them on my website, www.thevoiceofhopetoday.org, thevoiceofhopetoday.org, and I post all my messages on my website. God bless you. Have a good week, and I hope to talk to you next Sunday about God's plan and God's purposes for us. In Jesus' name, amen.